Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make the Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. More with John Canzano.
MyPillow.com, that is the website you need to know about. If you're looking for a pillow, promo code 750SPORTS, that's the promo code you can use to get the perfect pillow. With a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. You get 50% off two premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows by going to MyPillow.com. I use MyPillow.com. I bought a pillow, and I thought, I'll see what this is about. I gotta say, I use it all the time, and I love it. And I would never go back to anything else. So that's the best thing I can say about it. MyPillow.com, promo code 750SPORTS. Make sure you're following me on Twitter, at John Canzano BFT. I'm not going to beg for it, but I'll just tell you, it's a give-and-take relationship on Twitter for me. I went a couple months without responding or replying to anybody, not out of disrespect for anybody, but just to make a point that, like, just because you open a Twitter account doesn't entitle you to a one-on-one discussion with me. But if you got something to say, and you pique my interest, or we're engaging in a way that is respectful or mutually appreciated, then absolutely, I'll tweet back and forth with you. But also, it's a great place to get breaking news and a great place to get all of the latest BFT content, including podcasts, columns that I write, and everything else. Our next guest, sports columnist at the Eugene Register Guard, Austin Meek, joining us. And Austin, how are you, man?
Good, John. How are you doing?
Good. What is the slow time of year for Austin Meek? Because I get asked that question all the time, and I don't know what to say.
I feel like the slow time of year should be now, but it doesn't feel very slow to me. So maybe the answer is never. I don't know.
You had a great piece on the debacle at Oregon State, and I thought you took a really interesting tactic in sort of pointing out the way fans rationalize horrific things in order to make themselves feel better about rooting. How did you see the Luke Heimlich situation at Oregon State?
Well, the point I was trying to make in that column is, you know, there's a certain way that we talk about sports, and I don't see that as being very compatible with the way that we should talk about something like sexual abuse. And I don't want to paint with too broad a brush, because I've heard actually some really good conversations about this. I know you've had some on your airwaves. I've heard some as well. So there are some people who have, I think, really been able to have good dialogue about this. But there's also always going to be the other side of it, where people who are passionate about sports bring that passion into a discussion that, if we're talking about it the right way, should be detached from all that. You know, however you feel about your team, whatever color glasses you wear, ideally should be able to put those down when you talk about something this serious. But it's hard to do. If you're a passionate sports fan, that creeps into the way you see the world in a lot of ways. So I think we do a disservice in some ways to people who have actually been affected by crimes like this when we try to talk about it in the same way that we talk about sports.
Yesterday on the show, we were having this discussion about it, and I didn't want to do the show about it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of arguing about it. I feel like if you don't already get it, you're never going to get it. And so we were taking calls, and one after the other at the end of the show, it was people saying, well, he should be allowed to play baseball. What does it have to do with baseball? And a guy who happened to be listening was a district attorney in Clackamas County, John Foote, who called into the show. All of a sudden, he's like on line four, and it's the DA in Clackamas County who says, look, this is a serious crime. And he did just what you said. He shed away the sports, and he said, let's just talk about this as a crime and why it's important that this person, you know, and especially the victim of the crime feels like she got some justice someday when she looks back at this. And I thought that was an interesting way to look at it. What do you think? What's the most troubling part of this? Once we get past the actual crime, which horrifies us all, what's the most troubling part of this for you, Austin?
Well, I'll be honest. I'm a little troubled by the way Oregon State is handling this now, because, okay, so Luke Heimlich doesn't pitch in the Super Regional, and we don't know if he's going to pitch in Omaha, but it seems like there's a pretty good chance that he won't. So I guess I'd like to know, why isn't Luke Heimlich pitching? Is it because Oregon State didn't know about this, and then they found out about it, and they are saying, well, if we had known about this all along, he never would have been here, and now that we've found out, we don't want him representing us? I guess that's one possibility, but I guess I'm cynical enough to think that the more likely possibility is that Oregon State realizes that if Luke Heimlich pitches in Omaha, they're going to take a massive PR hit. I mean, we understand that public perception tends to rule the day in college sports. And, you know, I do have empathy for Luke Heimlich, and I do consider, you know, what's fair to Luke Heimlich. That's not where I go right off the bat. I think the first thing you think about is, hey, what's best for the victim of the crime? And maybe that's what it comes down to, is it's best for the victim of the crime if Luke Heimlich is not pitching right now. I think there's an argument for that. But I think there's also an argument to be made of, what has Luke Heimlich done wrong in the last 2 weeks that he could pitch for Oregon State up until this time, and now he can't? I just, you know, part of the reason why, you know, honestly, I made the point that I'm not sure guys with this background have a place in college sports is because of what we're seeing. When it comes out, then the machine gets rolling, right? And the PR people take over, and now everything's dictated by what can Oregon State do to manage the crisis. And again, I just think I don't think that's a productive way to handle something like this.
Austin Meek, award-winning columnist, Eugene Register Guard is with us. Chip Kelly's hired by ESPN, former Oregon coach. He's going to be a studio analyst. He was never a real media warm guy. Like, he did interviews and he would joust, but I never got the impression he enjoyed that stuff. How's he going to do as an analyst?
You know, I don't know. I talked to Bill Musgrave. Bill Musgrave was in town last week and coached with Chip in Philadelphia. And, Bill's another guy who's super nice guy. Not sure he'd be great on TV either. Doesn't say a whole lot. But his take on it was he thought Chip would be really good. I'm a little more skeptical of that. We'll see. Yeah, I think with all those guys, all those coaches and former players that go into broadcasting, it all comes down to how dedicated are they to the craft. You know, the people who really do well in that role, you know, like, you know, John Gruden has probably done as well as a broadcaster as he ever did as a coach, because he puts the time into it and he really tries to explain the game. So if you work at the craft, you'll be really good. I honestly don't know Chip well enough to know if that'll be something that he wants to do. If this is just kind of an in-between thing for him before he gets his next coaching job, that'd probably be my guess, is that he won't do this a long time. But if he does dedicate himself to it, I think he could do okay.
After your last visit, we had raised a question of whether Oregon was a football school or a basketball school. I won't go there again today because it caused an uproar. But Jordan Bell in this draft, and Tyler Dorsey in this draft, and Dylan Brooks in this NBA draft, how important is it for Oregon to get a player drafted in the first round, or is that just fun stuff fans like to talk about?
Well, I think it's most important for one of those guys now to sort of take the torch for Oregon in the NBA. You know, we're kind of getting into a time when you look and say, who's really representing Oregon in the NBA right now? You know, you got Aaron Brooks, Joe Young with the Pacers got a little bit of run, but there's nobody that, you know, you automatically think of, you know, as being an NBA star who came out of Oregon. And I could see one of those guys, maybe not necessarily, you know, being a perennial all-star or anything like that, but Jordan Bell, for instance, I think I think Jordan Bell has the upside to be a really productive player in the NBA for a long time. So if one of those guys gets picked in the first round, I think that'd be great for Oregon. I think it'd be even better, though, if at least one of them becomes a really productive player, maybe an NBA starter at some point, an NBA sixth man. If that could happen for one of those guys, I think it'd be really good for Oregon.
Austin Meek, Eugene Register Guard, is with us. A show that's on here in Portland, 9 to noon, with Justin Myers and Devon Pouncey, raised a question of which game this football season is most important for Willie Taggart to win. Do you have one on the schedule where you go, hey, it would be really important for Willie to win that one?
Well, I mean, the obvious one is going to be the Civil War. I think this Civil War could be as intriguing as certainly any I've seen in my – it'll be, I guess, the fifth one I've covered. At no point since I've been here has the Civil War at this time of year looked like such a toss-up. So, I mean, that would be the obvious one. But I think the Nebraska game at home also would be pretty close, maybe a pretty close second, just because, you know, it's Mike Riley. Oregon lost to Mike Riley last year. That didn't sit very well. It's going to be at home. It's sort of the first big game of the Willie Taggart era. So that could really – that game could really set the trajectory for what that season's going to be. By the time the Civil War gets here, we'll basically know. You know, we'll have an idea of what direction it's going to go under Willie Taggart. But when they play Nebraska, we really won't know. So that's a pretty big game in terms of how that season's going to go.
Meanwhile, we're looking over at Oregon State, and Gary Anderson's kind of playing that stoic, you know, we're going to be tougher, we're going to be better. But I don't know who's going to throw the football for them. Is that a big problem for Oregon State, or given their backfield, do you think, hey, that's not a pressing concern?
Well, can they be a 6 or 7 win team throwing the football the way they did last year? In theory, they probably could be if their defense gets better, if their running game gets a little bit better. But if they want to, certainly if they want to contend in the division, they're going to have to find a passing game. It's just hard to win in this day and age of college football if you can't throw it. Everybody can. I mean, even bad teams can throw it. So in some ways, you know, I guess I give Gary Anderson some credit for being able to do it a different way than everybody else is doing it. But you got to be able to score in the Pac-12. And so for them to be better than, you know, a 5-7, 6-6 type team, yeah, their passing game does have to take a step forward.
Did you get sucked up into the NBA Finals, or were you turned off by the playoffs? How much did you watch?
I had trouble getting into it. I was turned off by the playoffs. I was turned off by the long layoff between the conference finals and the finals. And then the games just weren't that compelling. I really wanted it to be a series. I really wanted to get into it, but there just was no point that I felt like the Cavs were a part of it. So it's hard to get into it that way. And it's disappointing to me as just a casual NBA fan, because obviously LeBron was great. One of the great final series of all time, but at no time did that make the Cavs any kind of real threat to win the series. And so that's just it's disappointing to me as a fan to feel like, you know, the Warriors got the best shot from the second best team in the NBA, and it wasn't close. It wasn't competitive.
I look at LeBron and. At some point, I don't like to root for LeBron, and because he represents to me the guy, the bully on the playground, the guy who's just so good. I don't mean that in a bad way. He's just so good. How can I root for LeBron? But then you cast him against what the Warriors are doing, and I go, he's kind of the sympathetic figure in that series.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a total reversal of roles for LeBron to become now sort of the underdog in the NBA with the team that the Warriors have put together. It's just, you know, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of LeBron's storyline. Yeah. I'm tired of the Warriors. I don't want to see these two teams in the finals again next year. I'm afraid that I will.
Yep.
But the NBA desperately now needs something fresh. I feel like this whole dynamic now with these two teams has really been played out. I don't think there's anything new that can happen with these two teams. Certainly nothing new that can be said or written about LeBron. So the best thing that could happen for the NBA next year is for some team to come out of nowhere and become a good story.
Can Adam Silver do something? Can he step in here? Is the issue bigger than just something a commissioner can fix? Or because I feel like in Portland, and you've covered a lot of Blazer games, unless they draft really well and maybe get lucky in the draft or happen to find a special group of players, free agency is not really available to them. This is just not the kind of city free agents are coming to right now. So I feel like Portland's further away from really contending than maybe ever in the time I've been here.
Yeah, it's got to be a really hopeless feeling to be a fan of a team that's not the Warriors or the Cavs, because what can you do? I mean, like you said, even if you draft really well, I feel like the Blazers have drafted pretty well, but they're not close. And like you said, they're not going to get a top line free agent to come in and help. So what is the pathway for a team like the Blazers to be better than they are right now or to contend with the Warriors? I don't know what you do. I don't know if there's a way to create more competitive balance in the league. The problem is the NBA, unlike the NFL or Major League Baseball, you got five guys on the court at one time. And if three or four of them are three or four of the best players in the league, there's nothing you can do about that. It's not like the NFL where you got 22 guys on the field. And if you can't compete in this area, then you find a way to compete in this area. You build your team differently. There's no way around it in the NBA. When you put together a team like the Warriors in the NBA, nobody's going to be able to compete with that. And unless you somehow find a way to change the rules to make that harder to do, and I don't know how you do that, but as it's set up now, there's really no way for teams to compete with the Warriors.
Austin Meek, Eugene Register Guard. Read him online at the Register Guard's website. Follow him on Twitter. Austin, thank you for your time as always.
All right, thanks, man. Hey, it's good to have you on in Eugene, too. I like to be able to get in the car and turn on the radio and hear you down here in Eugene.
Love it, Austin. Thanks, man. I appreciate you. There he is. Look, and he's an award-winning writer. The Associated Press Sports Editors Awards, those are the awards that people in the sports media writing industry pay attention to. And Austin Meek had a terrific year and won in multiple categories. And just a shout out, love having him on. Smart guy who's a great writer, and you should be following him. And a lot of sports columnists get provincial. Like, I'm the sports columnist at the Oregonian. Austin Meek has my job at the Register Guard. And there are some sports columnists who won't promote the other guys because they go, hey, you know what, that's a competition, whatever. I love the way the guy writes. And I think that there's room in sports column writing for multiple voices, and especially good voices. And Austin Meek has a good voice. Appreciate Austin Meek coming on the show. Love that he's listening on the Bald Face Truth Radio Network in Eugene on Fox Sports Eugene. Welcome them as the number one affiliate. They are affiliate number one. Affiliate number two is coming on board here shortly. It's moving fast. And if you are somebody who listens in Medford or Klamath Falls, Klamath Falls is going to be affiliate number two of the BFT Radio Network. We will be on there shortly. I'll tell you how to find us there in Klamath Falls. But for people who are in Southern Oregon and for people who are interested in listening to the BFT Radio Show, maybe as they travel down the I-5, or maybe if you spend time in Medford or Klamath Falls, we will be on in Klamath Falls. And we're taking the state over, is what I'm saying. The BFT Radio Network. William is in Wilsonville, where he's listening on Portland's 102.9 and 750 The Game. And he joins us now. William, what's up, man?
John, is it scary how quiet things are down at Oregon State right now? It's kind of unbelievable. I think if people have followed any of my calls since Friday, and I have people close to the situation and close to me saying, let's give the benefit of the doubt to Oregon State. Let's give the benefit of the doubt to Pat Casey. I think that was the right thing to do initially. Here we are, Wednesday of the following week. The team's leaving for Omaha. I think the charter is going to be a little empty on seats. I think people are not going to want to go with them. I'm leaning more towards, from what I've heard, that Heimlich is going to pitch. It's not going to be in the first or second game. I think you're going to see Rasmussen and Thompson, and then you're probably going to see Heimlich come in on a third game. It baffles me that if you don't know anything about the situation, that you're not saying anything. You know, if it were me and somebody was accusing me of being involved in this or knowing about it, I'd be screaming from the heavens that I had nothing to do with it, and I would put Heimlich on an island and run the other direction. What the program has done is essentially decentralize itself from Oregon State and put themselves on an island with Luke Heimlich, and I don't think that's the right thing to do. I think Pat Casey is the kind of guy who would take a bullet for many of his players, and I think right now he's taking a bullet for the one guy he shouldn't be. And my concern is that it's all in right now at Oregon State. We're going for broke, and I think the directive coming down might be, look, you guys do what you want to do. Like Ed Ray said, make your decision. We'll make ours.
All right. William, I got to get to a break. I appreciate what you're saying. I've got some new information there, and I'll weigh in on it next.
Something is about to happen.
BFT.
Now listen up, everyone.
Let's go. The bald-faced truth.
John Canzano.
I gotta say, I love him most of the time. I think he's right on.
He's okay.
John's great.
He's a little unusual.
Live every afternoon, 12 to 3 p.m.
I hate that guy because he just never knows what he's talking about.
I think he does a damn good job.
That's my dude, man. Yeah, I know him, man. I let my mother listen to him.
Now, from the Pac West Center in downtown Portland, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Camp Exceptional. It is the Bald-Faced Truth Foundation's summer camp for special needs and non-special needs children. What I mean by that is somewhere between 40 and 60% of the kids who attend the camp are dealing with a challenge of some kind. Autism, physical disabilities, Down syndrome. And somewhere between 40 and 60% of the camp are what we call typical kids. And I feel like while the camp is a sports camp, it's really a relationship camp. And it sells out virtually a year in advance every year. So we take 150 kids. We bring them out. This year it will be held at LaSalle High School in Milwaukee, July 17th through the 21st. We take the kids out to LaSalle High School, and the adapted PE specialists that run the camp, my brother and his friend and colleague Todd Jacobs, who come up from California, they have all this equipment that's available to them, and they have put together a curriculum that is fantastic. Again, this year, it'll include visits from the Portland Winterhawks and the Hillsboro Hops and the Portland Timbers, and they will learn sports. And I'm told they're doing track and field this year. So LaSalle High School in Milwaukee, Gliss's kids are going, my kids go to the camp. We happen to have about 8 to 10 spots available in the camp. And it's rare that we have this, but we had some families who said, look, we committed to the camp. Gosh, we have a vacation or we have a family reunion. We can't make it this year. Can you give us a credit toward next year's camp? And I said, yeah, we'll look at the wait list. And then I went to the wait list, and a lot of families that had been on the wait list had already made plans, and they were bummed out. So I've got about 8 to 10 spots available in the camp. And I feel like the typical kids get as much, if not more, out of this camp. And if you are somebody who's looking to give your child a dose of empathy, understanding, a good time, the camp is sponsored by Adidas. Our presenting sponsor is Oregon Blinds, OregonBlinds.net, to support them. Derek Eberhardt and his team do a great job. And we use the Celebrity Golf Tournament to mostly pay for the camp. But the camp has a tuition of $159. And right now I have 8 to 10 spots available. If you're interested in one of those spots, you can call 503-417-7575. We'll take your information down if you're interested in one of these spots. And we will lock up the first 8 to 10 people who want their kids to go. The ages are age 5 to 15. If your child has autism or Down syndrome or a physical challenge, we're here for you. If you have a typical kid, like the 14-year-old in my household who attends the camp every year and ends up in tears every year on the last day of the camp saying, it's not over, I don't want it to end. It's a great opportunity to make friendships and build relationships and learn some sports and have a good time. July 17th through the 21st. You can get information on the camp by going to baldfacetruth.org or just call us and we will lock down your spot at 503-417-7575. And right now I can hear our listeners going, let me call my wife real quick, see if we can free up those dates. Because I have all my friends are going to the camp and all of their children attend the camp. And every year, I went to a thing the other night. I went to an eighth grade graduation. And it was amazing to me, at the eighth grade graduation, how many of the kids were honored for community service, and they gave away service awards, and they did a lot of that stuff. And by the way, if you called in, just continue to hold. Phone lines are blowing up. Just continue to hold. We will get your information, and we will get you locked in for the camp right away. But it was amazing to me how many of the kids listed Camp Exceptional as the summer camp that they attended. And I know parents right now are looking for things to do for their kids this summer. I believe we will probably fill the camp in the next 5 minutes. But if you are somebody who's interested in that, bless you. Get your kids involved in it. If you're somebody, too, who just wants to support it, please reach out to us as well. We're always looking for sponsors. Oregon Blinds is always the presenting sponsor of this camp. Adidas is a sponsor of this camp. Keen Shoes, a great Portland-based company, a sponsor of this camp. The Shoe Mill Shoe Stores sponsor the camp. Anderson Pool Works sponsors the camp. First Call Heating and Cooling sponsors the camp. I mean, I just go down the list every year, and it's all these quality blue-chip companies that buy into the community. And by the way, all those businesses come out to the camp, and they're like, they stand there like Phil Knight, you know, arms folded, proud of like, we're building this thing. And they are. There are Phil Knights, all those companies. And I mean that, like everybody says, Uncle Phil, Uncle Schumel, Uncle Adidas, Uncle Derek Eberhardt at Oregon Blinds, OregonBlinds.net. Again, if you want to check out any of if you're looking for window coverings. So support those companies because they support not only the community, but this camp in particular. All right, I'm going to play some Punch It audio.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of Sam.
Hey, it's time for Punch It audio.
Tyson Alger of the Oregonian and OregonLive.com was on with Justin and Devon in Portland here on 102.9 The Game. He says Willie Taggart's staff has brought a lot of energy into the program. Here's Alger talking about that energy. Punch it.
I'm not saying the past staff wasn't enthusiastic about
it. We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.